Welcome back from the week of One Week, One Street, taking vacation off to do this. Pastor Randy.
Morning. Good morning. You all got to excuse me for a little bit here. I'm a little bit of an emotional wreck. I've never been so underprepared for a message, but felt so overprepared for a message. So I got a lot going on. This has been a long week. It's been a productive week. It's been a great week. It's been a week of trials. It's been a week of excitement. It's been a week of sadness. But it's been a week. Just to give you guys a little bit of an update on some of the preliminary numbers that are in for One Week, One Street. The 2019 totals are 8 30-foot dumpsters were completely filled. 22 homes received house painting and landscaping. 2 new roofs were put on. 6 porches and steps were repaired or completely rebuilt. One home had 2 porches completely rebuilt that were completely just deteriorated by years of neglect and years of just not being able to keep up. And the one house we got there, it was so collapsed and so dilapidated they couldn't use their front door anymore. That was the front porch. The back porch was the same way. One of the houses that we personally worked on had no front steps. The steps were removed by the previous homeowner and never reinstalled. So there was a block of a pile of cinder block, just crushed cinder block that we took out of the front yard because it had been there for years. And they got new steps. 13 vacant lots were completely cleared. 3 of those done by our team. Nathan and I spent about 4 hours on brush hogs in one lot, just back and forth, back and forth. Grass as tall as my youngest. 3 storage sheds were assembled. I want to tell you a story about that in a minute. 18 churches were involved. 25 trees were cut down, and 12 businesses sponsored the event this year. This is the least number of churches that they've had. For 1 week, One Street since the beginning, but this is also the most number of businesses and organizations that have stepped up. You see, it's the community loving on it. It's the community giving back to itself. It's the community going, you know what? We do need to give here. One of the storage sheds that were built was built on our first home. It was built on Mr. Charles's house. Mr. Charles was a man. Good God-fearing man, worked hard, his family works hard, take care of his property, takes care of his neighbor's property, just doing what he had to do to get by. A great daughter, just like I said, amazing God-fearing family. His daughter for Christmas, now mind you, this is June, his daughter for Christmas bought him a gas grill, beautiful gas grill, still in the box in his living room because he's too scared to put it outside. Because someone might take it. Next tier came by and put up a shed for him. Now he's got a place to keep that grill. You see, I take granted I can just set my grill up in my backyard. No problems. But to see the unity of the church, the unity of the corporations and organizations that come together and give this man something as simple as a shed. As simple as a shed. Not even a huge shed. Now he's got a place to keep his lawnmower. He ain't got to sit on his front porch no more. Now he's got a place to keep his bike. His daughter's got a place to keep their bikes because they ain't got to sit on the front porch no more. Now he can put a table on that front porch and some chairs and have breakfast with his family. Amen. You see, the only thing that makes this week possible, the only thing that makes this week as powerful as it is the unity of the church that comes together. Friday morning, I was given the opportunity to exhort, and we meet at 9:15 in a lot next to the check-in tent. We have prayer, which is a time of exhortation, a time of prayer. Friday morning, Tamara comes to me. She says, "Hey, Roy's really busy. Pastor Roy's really busy." She said, "Can you lead us in exhortation and prayer?" And everything inside of me said, "Nope." I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I did not want to stand before a bunch of people that were about ready to go out into the rain and work, and tell them, hey, let's rah-rah for the team. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a big rah-rah for the team. I'm a big, just get your butt out there and do it kind of guy. You know, you have a job, you finish the job. I'm not a rah-rah kind of guy. That's my wife's job. And that's why we take two different teams. I take the ones I know I can put. It's true. It is so true. I'll do it. And I exhorted him in this. I exhorted him in that. Psalm 133, it says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity." The word inspired by the Holy Spirit says, "Behold," he says, look at the marvelous goodness. I can't even say that word. Look at the magnificent goodness of brethren dwelling together in unity. It's the only place in Scripture where God calls something good and pleasant in the same sentence. Think about that. It's a double affirmation. It's a double affirmation. He says it's good and pleasant. Even in all of creation, and even in the 7 days, he says this is good, or he says this is pleasant. But he says when he's talking about unity, he says this is good and pleasant. I gotta get in my notes here for a second because I'm gonna jack this all up. I know I will. The English language is horrible. I can't speak it. I don't understand some of how the structure of it goes. And when I do understand it, I murder it. But it so underrates. When you take something from something like Hebrew, like Psalms are written, and you take something like Hebrew and you try to translate it into English, you diminish the value of the word. You know? I'm going to give you a lesson real quick. How many people in here love pizza? They just love pizza. That's like one of their favorite things. How many people in here love your husband and your wife? If you raise your hand for pizza and your husband and wife, you put your husband and wife on the same level as pizza because you've used the same word. Think about it. It's true. There's true. We English language has one word for love. Greek has like 7. Hebrew has like 10. Spanish has like 4. English only 1. So when you say you love pizza and then you say you love your wife as much as you love your pizza. You're gonna look at your wife and tell you love her anymore, and then go home and talk about that pizza anymore, are you? Or spaghetti, or anything like that. You value your words after that. And wives don't. If they tell you they love your cheeseburger, just you love me too, honey. I know you do. It's all right. I love you, dear, more than anything. The word "good" in Hebrew, I am not even gonna try to pronounce it. But if you translate it, it means excellent, agreeable, and beneficial. And the word "pleasant" translated is beautiful, sweet, and lovely. He says it is good. When he says good, it is excellent, agreeable, and beneficial for dweller together again. And it is pleasant that it is beautiful, sweet, and lovely. I've seen so much love this week, guys. I've seen so much love in this week. And things coming together. And people coming together. You see, things can be good. And things can be pleasant. But very often, they're not good and pleasant. Discipline's good. It's not pleasant. Hebrews 12:11 says that. Honey's pleasant. Too much honey. Not good. Proverbs 25:16 says that. But unity. The unity of the body. Amen. The unity of coming together as one. Yeah. The unity of united with the community. See, because for a long time, the body would work and the community would work, but we'd work in two separate areas. We were united in our goal, but we weren't united in our purpose. Come on. Yeah. We weren't united in our wanting to get things done. We weren't united in getting to see the community grow, the community flourish, the community just come together as one. Book of Acts describes the early church as being in remarkable unity. Acts 2 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. All believers were together in everything and had everything in common. They broke bread in people's homes. They ate together. They had their sincere hearts. They praised God together. They enjoyed the fellowship and favor of all people together. And it was a beautiful picture of unity. this week, like I said, I can stand here and just tell you stories of people just stopping us. Mr. Charles's house was next to a business. And it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday morning. A couple guys from the business come over. He says, you leading this project? I said, well, I'm not leading the project. I'm leading this house. He says, I want to say, just shake your hand. Just shake your hand and tell you how good of a job you guys are doing. I just want to tell you that we need this and we appreciate this in our community. Countless number of people just driving by. You hear horns honking all the time. Waving, good job. People just stop out of the blue. Hey, we don't know what you guys are doing down here. We don't know who you're with. But man, keep up the work. Keep doing it. You see, when we live together in unity, when we live together in purpose, people notice that. There's a song. There's a song that we were listening to this week on our ride into town. I can't remember who was by, but it says one of the things it says is Sunday morning is the most segregated time segregated day of the week. Okay. Think about that. Sunday morning is the most segregated day of the week. We separate ourselves by Baptist or Catholic. We separate ourselves by Lutheran or 99. We separate ourselves by Pentecostal or AG or even more, even inside the Lutheran church, it's Missouri or Wisconsin. You didn't see that this week, guys. Amen. You didn't see that this week. You saw brothers working next to brothers. You saw families working next to organizations. Like I said, we didn't build the shed at Mr. Charles' house. I was in charge of Mr. Charles' house Monday through Thursday. We gave it away on Friday so we could work on another project. But Monday through Thursday, I wasn't in charge of that. Next tier came in and said, hey, we want to build this shed and we got some extra guys. You mind if we help you paint? The organizations are stepping up, guys. The organizations are seeing the church step up and take a stand for what's going on in their neighborhoods. The church is coming together to make a difference in their neighborhoods, and then they're turning around and wanting to get back to those communities as well. Awesome. Communities devastated by the fact that their parent companies have left. You look at that neighborhood down there, it used to be filled with GM workers. Big, beautiful homes owned by GM workers because they had great jobs. But then when the company left, the workers left, the homes got left. It's the companies giving back. The companies realizing their wrongs and giving back. Because they realize how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. How good and pleasant it is. It's not anything that we do. It's not the labor of our hands. It's not the... Like I said, I'm going to tell you a story in just a couple of minutes here about Mr. Quinnen. Don't let me forget Mr. Quinnen. And his animals. You see, guys, anybody can go down and paint a house. Pick a house and paint it. Anybody can do that. Anybody can put up a storage shed. Anybody can go, okay, hey, what's your need and meet that need. But what it is working with the joy of the Lord, working with the love of Christ. You know, fruits of the Spirit, love's the first one because you can't have none without the first one. When was the last time you were having long suffering and couldn't find some joy? Couldn't find some love? It takes love to be in long suffering. It takes love to be in joy. It takes love to have self-control. It takes love, and God is love. We know this. We go down there and work in love. We go down there and work with a sense of community. We go down there and work with a sense of unity. Not saying that one church is better than the other, or this group works better than the other, or this, that, or the other. Because if something doesn't get done, we come in behind and we help lift them up.
Amen.
We come in behind and say, hey, you know what? This part here didn't get done. We're just going to take care of it. Same thing, like I said, with next year. There's no way we would have been able to paint some of the stuff that got painted on Thursday if it wasn't for the help from next year. We used to have enough people on the site. Items flipped between two different sites. One time we were split between three different sites because we had such a group. We had 15 kids that stayed here Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, 13 on Thursday night. We had other kids that came down. We were averaging 21. We were averaging 21 a day for our crew. Putting aside the Xbox, putting aside the phone, putting aside the TV, the video games, the wanting to play basketball with their friends, the wanting to do anything else but other than come down and serve. And before I forget, not Mr. Quinnen. We wouldn't be able to, I told him to let me forget. I want to thank each and every one of you. So without your prayers, without the food, without the love, without the encouragement, without the constant, hey, you're doing a great job, you guys are doing great, without you guys, we as a team, my team, would not have been as successful as we were this week. So give yourselves a hand. You guys were amazing. And I know she doesn't like it, but I want to give a special. She knows you, especially to Barb Fowler. Barb Fowler has an issue with her foot right now, and still came out Wednesday morning to help my kids have a hot breakfast. We only do a hot breakfast one day during the week, guys. Even with her foot thing, Barb came out and gave us a hot breakfast, or gave us the ability to have a hot breakfast that day. Wednesday's that day. Wednesday's that tipping point. It's that hump of the camel, you know? It's that day where you're tired of eating fruit, you're tired of eating bagels, you're tired of eating cereal, you're tired of eating just the muffins, you know, you're tired of eating that the stuff that we give you that just sustains you. You want something a little bit bigger. You want something a little bit more amazing. Barb brings her sausage and her muffins in. I do eggs, and we give these guys a great breakfast Wednesday, and then most of them go to bed early Wednesday night. But but it's that halfway point. It's that morale boost, you know, that we wouldn't be able to have without you, Barbara. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, you guys are amazing. All of you guys are amazing. You know, I can pick, like, Chuck and Alice bringing us out sweets for Thursday, bringing us out cookies for Thursday. You know, Sandy bringing us bagels and chips and all kinds of stuff. You know, all of you guys, I can't even, Grandma Lynn for opening her house to a bunch of dirty kids to come and take a shower at Grandma Lynn's house. They love it. They love it. There was one, last year we had kids fighting over, can we go to Grandma Lynn's? Because they love her heart. They love her heartbeat. That's what we do as a body, guys. It's not just us down there as a youth group working. It's us down there as a body. Mr. Quinnen, we'll get back to Mr. Quinnen. The last verse of Psalm 133 says that the Lord will commend a blessing of life evermore. There's only a handful, I forget the number, I think it's five or maybe six commanded blessings in the Bible. And they're all centered around the gathering of people. That's something I'm still working on. That's something I'm still trying to understand and still researching, so I can't go any farther than that with that. But Psalm 1, this is life evermore. A commanded blessing of life evermore. A couple years ago, we worked on Robert Street. And we painted a house. We painted a garage. And we cleaned out the backyard and did some landscaping for a guy named Mr. Quinnen. Mr. Quinnen was probably, I'd say, 275, 280 pounds. He's a big boy. Walked with a cane and a limp. When we did his house, he stood in his backyard and just cried about how he could now have family over because we opened up his backyard for him. We clear cut it. His yard was like the jungle, I swear. It was bad. All we did was clear cut his backyard, paint his garage, paint his house, and plant some flowers. That's all we did. 3 days of work. We were there 3 days. Monday or Tuesday? I take my trailer and I take some of my own supplies because I got stuff I can very readily use, my own tools. So I load them into my trailer and we take them down there. I'm walking over to my trailer to get, I think, my weed whacker or something. Put my weed whacker away is what it was. And this gentleman approaches me. He says, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "The face looks familiar. The voice sounds familiar." I said, "But I can't place you at all. No cane, no limp, walking right." He says, "Let me jog your memory, sir." He says, "You painted my house and my garage on Robert Street." I said, "Oh my God, Mr. Quinnen." I gave him the biggest hug I could give this man without breaking any of his bones. He says to me, he says, "Pastor," he says, "because you guys show love to me, because you guys show love to my community, I felt like I needed to show love to myself. I started eating right. I started getting into church." He goes, "Mind you, I'm not at Roy's church," which that doesn't matter what church he's going to. He says, "But I got back in church. I'm taking care of myself." Before he was on disability, he says, "I've almost worked my way off of disability." Amen. He's almost able to go back to work and get a job and provide for himself again. All because we painted his house, yes, painted his garage, did some landscaping, 3 days of work. Yes, that's life evermore. That's life evermore. That's what life evermore is. Seeing people have take pride back in themselves. Just because some people want to come slop some paint on a house.
Come on.
And I've seen my kids paint. It's slopping paint on a house. Any of you parents in here, if you ever need a project done at your house, do not ask your kids to paint. Please. You'll need 3 gallons for a half a gallon project. I tease them because they do such a great job. They are a great group of kids. But that's the thing. That's life evermore. From year 1 to year 5, crime was down 200%. From year 1 to year 7, it's down like 87%. 20% just the first 6 months this year. 20% just from last year. It's down 20% from last year this time, the first 6 months. 87% overall for the last 7 years. That's crazy. That's life evermore.
Yes.
That's life evermore. That's the unity. That's the commanded blessing. That's the commanded blessing.
Hallelujah.
You see, and in the middle, verses two and the first part of three, it says unity is like the oil poured on Aaron's head that runs down his beard to the edges of his garment. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon that falls down on Mount Zion. You got to realize, people, look at those things. Both of those things are downward motions. Mount Hermon's in the north, Mount Zion's in the south, separated by about 200 miles. The dew from there can't get from there if it wasn't for the unity of the church. We're separated from there. We're separated from 1 week from the area from 1 week, one street by about 15 miles. We can't get from there to there if it wasn't for the unity of the church.
Amen.
If it wasn't for you guys coming together to support this project. If it wasn't for us coming together as a youth group saying we're going to get this done. My team, we showed up Friday morning. Tamara goes, "It's going to rain." I said, "Yep, that's why we're here." She goes, "I've had a lot of groups call and cancel." She goes, "But I knew you guys wouldn't."
Yeah.
We said amen. And we said amen, and the rain started falling. Kids looked at me and said, "What are we going to do?" So we're going to go to work. They're like, "What?" Everybody's running into the tent. We're walking down the street. You know? We had in the middle of this, I told the kids, I said, "You see thunder? You see thunder? You see lightning or hear thunder? Let me know, and we'll go in." I said, "But as long as it's raining, we're working. There's still work that needs to get done." That's the dew of Mount Hermon falling. Times of refreshing are in the rain, right? Grace like rain. And we worked through it. We did. We were done. As soon as we got done, we had two huge brush piles to clear. From where Jackson came down and cut down a tree. Jax came in on the week, comes in the week before. Jax Tree Service is an amazing, amazing Christian company. Came in the week before and cut a bunch of trees. But because the way the landscaping was and the way the dirt was And the way the one backyard was, they couldn't get in there to finish cutting the tree down until we got in there and cleaned it out. We got Mr. Charles's house cleaned out and Mr. Jason's house cleaned out, which was his neighbor. Mr. Jason's house, his backyard was probably, he'd say 50 feet long. It was about 50 feet from the back of his garage to the back of his fence where you couldn't get to because the grapevines were overgrown so much. Grapevines were so overgrown, you didn't know where the property lines were. But because of all that, Jax couldn't get in there and cut this tree down. Jax came back in on Friday, or on Thursday, and was able to cut the tree down because we were able to clear all that out of there for him. You know? So they got this tree cut down, and there was all this debris and stuff. I told the kids, I said, we're going to clean that up. If it's raining or not, that's going to happen first. And my kids, instead of complaining, my kids, instead of, how are we going to do it? Because there were some cars parked. We're going to do this. We're going to make it work this way. That seems the hard way, but it's the only way. The minute we get to work, the homeowners come out, move their cars, move everything out of the way to let us work. Because they knew we need to get a job done. You see, guys, it's not about us. It's not about our team. It's not about anybody, any of us. We don't look for any accolades in any of this. I really don't. It's not my thing. It's funny because Tamara introduced me as Pastor Randy for opening prayer. And so as I'm going to see these people I've known for 7 years, people that we've worked side by side with for 7 years, it's, oh, Pastor Randy, oh, Pastor, please don't call me Pastor. I understand the respect thing, I said, but it just Randy's fine. I understand the respect thing, but just Randy's fine. But you guys are amazing. We couldn't do this without you. This project, my youth group, the everything that's happening just in this church, we couldn't do this without you guys. We couldn't do this without you guys. We couldn't do this without you guys standing behind us. We couldn't do this without you guys praying for us on a continual. We couldn't do this for you guys to sacrifice time and your own money to bring in dinners for us for the week. For my in-laws sacrificing their time to watch my little boys. You guys are an amazing group of people. More powerful than you know. Touching lives that you may never meet. You may never come across these people that we work with down there. I never thought I'd see Mr. Quinton again unless I went back. Because every time I go down Robert's, he's sitting on his porch. He sits there. Now he's got himself a little bike all over the neighborhood now. Because he can, because that's the commanded blessing of life evermore.
Yes, yes. Cool.
That's life evermore.
Amen.
So I'm going to go ahead and close this down and pray. I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you guys for an amazing week, for all the prayers, the financial support for the youth group. It's nice not to be in a youth group that we don't have to do a fundraiser. We don't have to do huge fundraisers, have our kids out selling things door to door. It's that I've been in youth groups that's what we had to do to raise the money. But you guys are an amazing, amazing group of people that love our youth, that support our youth, that love my family, support my family. There's no way we couldn't do this without you guys. So I thank you guys. Father God, we thank you for the commanded blessing of unity, Father. We thank you for everything that happened this week and all the lives were touched this week, Father. Father, we know that you're going to continue to pour out your love and your spirit in that area, Father, down there. Father, what I just ask is we get ready to leave this week. We get ready to adventure out into the world from this building. Father, we ask that you give us a glimpse of the unity of the church. Father, continue to unite the church of Saginaw together. Father, continue to unite the churches that they may lay down denomination walls. They may lay down barriers that white, black, Mexican, any barrier that, Father, that is coming against the spirit of the spirit of unity in this church of Saginaw. Father, we just bind it in your name. Father, let us see ourselves as perfect because we're created in your image as perfect. Father God, we just give you all the glory. We just give you all the glory today. It's in your Son's wonderful name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a good week. Don't forget, we got a membership meeting right next door here in just a minute. We love you guys. Thank you very much.
And your love to us is more than we can deserve.
Thank you very much. Yes.